This is Keep It Juicy, Episode 20. Hello, and welcome to Keep It Juicy, a weekly podcast that features experts on living a juicy life. What's a juicy life? It's a lifestyle for those who have put in a few miles and are ready to turn off-road, who are still learning and excited, who are fearless, or who are scared but dare anyway. Juicies are grown-ups, so some of our language may not be appropriate for children. Juicies are bold, passionate, and ready to squeeze every drop of juice out of life. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. Are you ready? Let's keep it juicy. Hi, this is Helen Mitternight. I can't think of a whole lot more scary than in finding out you're at risk for Alzheimer's. Today's guest, Ellen Wood, got that diagnosis and made some drastic lifestyle changes that she credits with at least delaying symptoms. She's in her 80s today and still sharp, and she shares what's worked for her. Fighting Alzheimer's, today on Keep It Juicy. Ellen, I wanted to thank you so much for being on Keep It Juicy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're talking about your book, Joy, 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 which I read. And if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your history with Alzheimer's and what prompted your new beliefs.
Well, I'd been going along just working and raising kids and having a wonderful career and loving my life. And then when I was in my 40s, my mother's mind started to deteriorate, and it started getting progressively worse until we finally, she went to my sister's for a year, and then we had to put her into the nursing home. Every time I visited her, I absorbed those images of her wasting away, her mind going, and then her body going. And I had read a lot about Alzheimer's and about it being hereditary. So I worried that the same thing was going to happen to me. And 5 years after my mom died of Alzheimer's, I found my own mind slipping. And it really scared me, and it scared my kids. I had short-term memory loss. It was gradual, but it got progressively worse, and I couldn't find words. I had to make notes. And I wouldn't ask a question in a conversation because I couldn't remember, did I just ask that question? And then one day in 2004, I had a wake-up call, and I realized that my thoughts and beliefs were creating a life for me that I did not want. And so I realized that I had been, in my earlier days, using mind-spirit practices for decades to bring me things that I cherish, like relationships and abundance of all kinds. And so I adapted those mind spirit practices to the whole process of growing younger, because I decided I not only want my mind to heal and be cured, but I also want my fingers not to hurt anymore, and I want to have more energy. And so I adapted those mind spirit practices, and then I added some body techniques as well, and soon a whole program evolved.
And you actually had a doctor who said that you had the marker. So it wasn't just that you started noticing your own behavior. There was actually physical evidence.
I didn't find that
right?
out until after I'd written my first book, when Dr. Terry Grossman.
Oh, really?
We did a trade. I did some marketing for him, and he did the whole executive lab tests of all kinds, and one of them was he tested my genes for the Alzheimer's gene, and I do have it. It's called APOE4. But I wasn't scared when I found out. It was that was something that could happen, and they're finding now that there are ways to reverse early Alzheimer's. But it's not just one thing. It's a combination of things very similar to my program.
Well, so let's talk about your program. There's seven mm-hmm. daily practices. Let's talk a little bit about what they are and why you
okay.
do them.
Well, I do them because they keep me not only younger, feeling younger, and my body is younger. My fingers don't hurt anymore, and I don't know if it's those practices or what it is, but my fingers are all crooked from having had some arthritis, but they don't hurt anymore. And most of these practices take just 2 minutes. And the first one is to observe your thoughts. And it's becoming aware of what's going on in your mind. And one of the ways that I had to do in the beginning as a reminder for me, and this, your listeners might be interested in this, I would put it in the beginning. I was putting them on little index cards, but now I use sticky notes, and I write Waitrn on the sticky note, Waitrn. And I'd put one in the bathroom. I put one on the kitchen counter, put one in the living room. And when I'd see it, that Waitrn, I would say to myself, what am I thinking right now? Because mindfulness is very important for these practices, for life. Mindfulness is important. So it's becoming aware of what's going on in your mind. So that's number one.
It's so hard to do because you are, especially women, I find, are often racing to think about the future.
Yes. Well, we're usually thinking about the, you know, regretting the past or worrying about the future, but it can become a habit. And I also, another way to start is when you're brushing your teeth, because brushing your teeth doesn't need your conscious mind. It's all muscle memory. So while you're brushing your teeth, your mind is going lickety-split thinking about all kinds of other things. So if you just, when you're brushing your teeth, notice what's going on in your mind. Don't judge it, just notice. And then there's number two. You want me to go on to number two? Okay. That's release toxic emotions. Because what happens is negative energy gets stuck in the body. And if you're upset about something or have some resentment that's bothering you and affecting you, you want to release it. And one of the ways is with EFT. That stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. And I have complete instructions in the book, if you have the blues, for how to use EFT. It's a tapping on the meridians in your body. And I won't go into them here. Instead, I'll give you another technique for releasing toxic emotions that worked very, very successfully for me. It was to relive the situation and feel the emotions as strongly as you can, stronger and stronger and stronger, like the grief and shame and anger. And then you feel them as strong as you can, and then you drop the story. And you focus just on the feelings. But here's the thing. Without the story, you cannot feel those emotions. And they will creep back in. They'll just keep creeping back in, and you just keep dropping the story, and each time you do this, a little bit more of the negative charge from that emotion will be released.
Yeah, I found that really fascinating, because mindfulness is, gosh, you know, people, it's almost a trend, beyond a trend. People are doing it all the time. But the tapping and the physical thing that you mentioned in your practice, I have to tell you, I read it and I was like, oh yeah, right. What is this stuff? And then I remembered that when I was, gosh, forever ago, back in college, that a friend of mine was seeing a therapist who had her wear a rubber band around her wrist and sort of snap it at the negative behaviors that she was doing. And I guess that kind of physical thing, while not exactly like tapping, certainly, but I mean, I guess there really is a mind, a connection to that kind of physical.
You're
stimulus,
absolutely right?
Right.
But the EFT is sort of like, if maybe people have heard of EMDR. And I'll tell you, EFT is being used by psychiatrists and medical doctors and all kinds of psychoanalysts and around the world. It's extremely popular because it's effective. It really, really works. And it's
what's EMDR stand for?
It's something where you keep your head steady, but you move your eyes from left to right very, very slowly. I forget what exactly it stands for. But the thing is that anytime we have an upset or something happens to us that bothers us, what happens is you get this energy that gets stuck in, this negative energy gets stuck in your body. And so what you're doing is you're releasing it by tapping on the meridians. You release that negative energy. And
so what's the third practice?
The third practice is to say a short affirmation. Because, you know, all day long we're saying affirmations, only a lot of the time they're negative. Anytime we say the same thing over and over or think the same thing over and over, that is an affirmation. And so, you know, to say something like, I am powerful, I am strong and healthy, I spread love and joy everywhere I go, I am magnificent. I have my audiences, when I give talks, I have my audiences repeat after me, and they seem to love it. That's number three. And number four, you could do along with number three. Let me tell you about number four. It's called Power Pose. And if anybody has seen Amy Cuddy's YouTube on about her TED Talk, it's had over 12 million views.
You know what? Great. I'll put a link to that when I put your information
wonderful,
up on the
wonderful.
Website.
It's the thing is that people who are stressed out and overwhelmed often feel powerless. And Amy Cuddy's research showed that powerless people often close up their body. They keep their arms close to their body, and they wrap their legs around each other and so forth. And then she also found out that powerful people, they spread out. They take up space like Wonder Woman. They stand with their feet spread and their arms out. And because of that, she thought, I wonder if there's a physiological component to this as well. So she tested testosterone and cortisol. And what she found is that people who were powerful and effective had high testosterone and low cortisol. So she did some more lab tests and had people stand or sit. She's tested their testosterone and cortisol before and after, and found that the ones who were sitting or standing in the high power pose decreased their testosterone by 10% and increased their cortisone by 17%. And those who were in the high power pose, the powerful one, increased their testosterone 20% and decreased their cortisol by 25%.
Wow. So you're saying this works with the previous one. So you're saying you should stand strong and say a
right,
powerful affirmation.
Right. That's
at
something
the same
that
time.
I added is to, you're going to hold it for 2 minutes. And while you're holding it, say those affirmations to yourself. You know, I am courageous. I am confident. By the way, I just want to sneak in another particular technique action plan that I do every day. That isn't in this book because it's going to be a whole book of its own. And that's the Tibetan Rites of Rejuvenation. And they're simple physical movements that are about 2,500 years old. And they are supposed to make you grow younger, and they really, really work. So if anybody wants to see that, how that's done, and read more about it, they could go to my website, EllenWoodSpeaks.com, and at the third video down shows how to do them.
I will put, I'll put a link directly to that too.
Okay. So then number five, in my book, Joy, 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 is dry brush your skin. It's an easy and effective way to reduce stress and calm your mind. And the important thing there is to get a good body brush, one that's has natural bristles, and get one with a long handle because, you know, you might be doing this yourself and a lover could get distracted. So if you, you always have to brush towards your heart, that's the most important thing to remember, is to brush, always brush towards your heart. Number six is meditation. That uncovers the joy that's natural for us. And research shows that that meditation actually has reversed memory loss. It reduced stress, lowers blood pressure. It used to be that that mainstream physicians who were using meditation disguised the name and called it something like the relaxation technique or the relaxation response. But nowadays, this is being, it's being recommended and prescribed by physicians of all kinds. And they're calling it meditation because it has earned that title through its the benefits that people have gotten from it.
Yeah, it's not scary anymore to have people say that they meditate as a practice, as a daily practice. You're right.
And then the final one in this book is do something good for someone, including yourself. Now, we're basically good people, so we do good things for other people. We call somebody to cheer them up. We hold the door open for someone. But what I'm talking about is to consciously and deliberately do something good every day. And if you only have 20 seconds a day, you could just say, let's say you're standing in line at the supermarket and you're impatient. You, if you're like me, you're impatient and you're waiting there for your turn. If you just say silently, from my heart, I send love to the heart of the person in front of me. It takes less than 20 seconds. That's all you have to do. The other part of the technique number seven, the practice number seven, is to love yourself exactly as you are. That's extremely important. And that may be the hardest of all. So what I recommend is to, when you get out of bed in the morning and you go and you look in the mirror, look into your eyes and say, I love you just as you are. You are magnificent. And I have a little sticky note that says, Ili Jaya Yam. And that's the first letter of each word of, I love you just as you are. You are magnificent. And so those are the seven practices that I do every day and that have absolutely changed my life.
Talk a little bit about gratitude, though, because you don't mention gratitude in your practices, but you do mention it in your book. And I know people are going to ask.
I say in the front, in the introduction of the book, that gratitude is not one of the seven because it is integrated into each one of those. Each one, if you notice, there's a gratitude component for each one of those particular, those practices. So gratitude is extremely, extremely important, and it can't be relegated to just one thing that you do. Because like with affirmations, I recommend that, that in between you say thank you, thank you, thank you when you're saying them. So that's just one example. And when you're dry brushing your skin, you thank each part of your body. Thank you, leg, for carrying me around. Thank you, hand, for helping me to talk or whatever. But yes, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you asked about that.
So I know that some people are going to say, seven practices. Holy cow, I barely have time to brush my teeth, much less be mindful while I'm doing it. So tell me how much time, how does it work logistically to do this every day?
Okay.
And how much time does
most
it take?
Of these practices take 2 minutes. But here's the thing. You want to make them into habits so that you don't even notice you're doing practices. And so you start out, I recommend starting out with just two practices for 21 days, because the experts say that it takes 21 days to form a habit if you do something every day for 21 days. And I'm suggesting do it maybe for 5 days a week. And in the back of my book, I have a checklist so you can check off those first two. If you did the power pose and affirmations, would take a total of 2 minutes, and those could be your first two for 21 days. Then you add two more for another 21 days, and two more, and then one more until you have all 21. And you don't want to you don't want to berate yourself if you don't do them all, or you have to go somewhere and you don't have time to do any of them. You know, be good to yourself. But if you want to transform your life, if you want to feel great, if you want to have more joy, then try to at least get the ones that you have an affinity for, get it into your schedule. It doesn't take much time at all.
Well, and I want to clarify something, because I am very mindful of my colleagues who are in the medical career. You are not saying that you do these practices and boom, there is no Alzheimer's.
No, I'll tell you, it took about 6 months. And then my short-term memory started coming back. It took but 6 months of daily, and yes, every now and then I would skip a day, but there is news. I forget what his name, Bresner, Dr. Bresner, who has a protocol of, I think, 26 things that you do, and that he is proving that it actually can reverse those, the early Alzheimer's, not late Alzheimer's, but early Alzheimer's. I wrote an article about this. How about if I send that to you?
Sure, okay. I'll put the link to that as well. You mentioned, like, in the book, you mentioned a fuzzy slippers incident, and I wonder for yourself, how do you stop from being terrified at every forgotten fact or name? How do you pull yourself back into the mindfulness and all of these practices? Because I would be scared.
Well, I was scared when this happened to me, and my kids were too. So they insisted that I go to the doctor for testing, for an Alzheimer's test. And this was back in the late 1990s. And the test was a series of questions that the doctor would ask the patient, like, what year is it? And who is president of the United States? Well, I knew those. I could do those. It wasn't the full blown Alzheimer's where you can't remember anything. You have some times when you're very lucid, but there are other times when you just can't bring up something from your memory, or you can't remember. As I said, if I just asked a question. But I was lucid enough that I was able to put together these techniques that I had used before very successfully, and then adapted them to the whole process of growing younger and living happy.
But how do you keep yourself, you know, in modern vernacular, how do you talk yourself off the ledge? Because people forget names all the time.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of life. And so how do you, or one of my listeners who perhaps has Alzheimer's in the family, how do you give yourself perspective to say, no, this isn't the beginning of the end. This is just, I forgot somebody's name, and then kind of cycle back to the mindfulness and the rest of the stuff. What is the technique for doing
that? Well, first of all, I've been doing these so long that I am aware when people say something like, oh, I'm too old to date, or when I was young, and I sometimes say younger, and it's like, for me, it's like fingernails on the blackboard. But these techniques, I would catch myself, and I would use notes, and I would use sticky notes, and I would and I still use sticky notes. I'm looking at my desk right now, and there's one that says, "What marvelous things do you have for me next?" And I see that, you know, if I'm rushed and I've got a deadline, it's like, yes, you know, just to relax and let the universe bring me something wonderful, and then watch for it, especially if you're upset or something.
A lot of times in this book, you recommend consulting with your personal doctor, which is perfectly appropriate. But my question is, do you think doctors in the United States are open to these daily practices?
There are some doctors who are. And when I send this article, it's huge news. Alzheimer's cured for the first time or something like that is the title of the article. And you'll read about this tested at some hospitals or universities or something that was done that showed that they're spending billions of dollars to try to find out what is it that is causing Alzheimer's and how can we correct that. But they're looking for one thing. They're looking for a gene, or they're looking for one protein. But this man found that it's a combination of things. Mostly lifestyle changes, because we get into a rut of telling ourselves, "Oh, I'm getting old. This isn't happening." I used to do that myself. And in my first book, the Think and Grow Young book, I have a chapter that for people to say what they normally say, catch themselves on what they might say that is reinforcing that deterioration of their mind. Because people expect to deteriorate when they reach a certain age. And so they start talking about it. And you know, if you go into a home for older folks, you might, you know, sometimes it sounds like an organ recital. People are talking about how their heart's not working, or their liver's not working, or their kidneys aren't working. That kind of talk just reinforces in your mind, yes, everybody gets old, and yes, everybody does age. But what you want to do is square the curve. And by that, I mean, if you put the ages all on the left side of a chart, and you put their health on the bottom. Usually when you're 30, you know, up to 30, you're going healthy, 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 healthy. And then you gradually, you curve around till you die. I'm saying, these aren't my words. These are Dr. Terry Grossman. He's an MD, and he's one of the top anti-aging physicians in the world. He said, square the curve. When you get to 30, you keep healthy, 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 die.
That's a great way to look at it.
And that's basically what I'm talking about, is while we are here on Earth, it's having fun, enjoying your life, being as healthy as you can possibly be. I do take supplements, and some that I've been told to take, especially because I have that Alzheimer's gene. But because I'm not a physician, I'm not a healthcare practitioner of any kind, I hesitate to recommend them to anybody. But they should ask their physician or their healthcare practitioner about supplements that will aid the brain.
I have one more question. You know, your book is called Joy, Joy, Joy.
Yes.
And yet, most people would settle for not feeling stressed or depressed. So do you think we ought to all hold out for joy? And is that a sustainable emotion?
Oh, I do believe it is. I do believe it is. Because when I talked about meditation, I said that it's the natural joy is natural for us. And we cover up that joy with all kinds of worry and upsetness and dread and fear and not liking ourselves. We cover up that natural joy. But if we uncover it and allow the joy to come out and breathe, when we meditate and do and become mindful and do some of the other practices that I'm talking about.
Well, and I think that's going to have to be our last word on it because we are out of time. But thank you so much for being here, Ellen. I so appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure. And I just want to tell everybody, keep it juicy.
Thank you. If you want to buy Ellen's book, read her article, or take a look at those Tibetan rituals, check out the health resources page on our website, keepitjuicy.com. You can keep up with us on Facebook or Twitter at keepitjuicy.com, or you can go to the website and sign up for our newsletter. Oh, and it really helps if you go on to iTunes and leave a review. Meanwhile, go out there and keep it juicy.